B-Pod Studios.
Get this off with a two-minute warning. A little surprise. Foles back, throws. Intercepted away right through Jeffrey's hands. It's Lattimore.
I'm in a glass case of emotion. Anybody else? Or just one emotion? Ups and downs?
I got the bends yesterday.
How do you feel? The bends? Bob got the bends.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, it started with anger. And there's still some anger there because I wanted this Eagles team. I predicted them. I thought they'd win this game. And if you tell me they're holding the Saints to less than 20 points, a team that scored 31 points per game throughout the season on average, you hold them to 20 points, yeah, you think you're going to win that game. So I feel, initially, I felt angry. I'm watching this game. They go out to 14 points. They're like it's nothing. Blink of an eye, controlling the game. You defer the first possession of the game. You give it to the Saints. You get an interception on that first play. And then you just get right down the field, touchdown, nothing. Another touchdown, three and out, another touchdown. And then you go down, and then you just couldn't do anything after that. You have the play by Brandon Graham, slaps the ball loose to Drew Brees. Ball falls to the ground. Graham tries to corral it, attempts to secure it. The ball slips through his very fingers. And it might as well have just... And it was a metaphor for the rest of that game, is what it was. Because after that, really, the win slipped through your fingers. Eagles couldn't do anything. Fletcher Cox gets hurt. Nick Foles throws the interception. They get the fake punt. Brandon Brooks ruptures his Achilles. Just, they couldn't do anything right after that. And then, Trey, I started to get hit in the feels a little bit after that.
Uh-huh.
Because you have the drop pass from Alshon. You just heard it right there, the interception that ended the game, more or less, for the Eagles. But then you start thinking about guys like Darren Sproles and Brandon Graham and Chris Long and, of course, Nick Foles, guys that possibly could not be back. And then you also think about, man, of all the people, it's Alshon. You see him lying on the ground. You see Nick Foles go over to him to support him and all that stuff, to comfort him. And I really do start thinking, damn it, I love this team. I don't want to see these guys go. I was walking around Xfinity. I was there for TV coverage, and I'm talking to the fans after the loss. And it was amazing how many fans. I've never seen Philadelphia fans compassionate, really. Mm-hmm. And they were the most, after a loss, right? And that was the most compassionate Eagle fans I've ever seen them be.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, you could tell, like, these guys, they really tried to go out there. It wasn't a just lay down type of game. These guys went out there and battled. I mean, Fletcher Cox continually trying to fight to get back on the field. Just all the different injuries. You know, you knew that what this defense had to deal with just a depleted secondary, how these guys just continued to battle, just all the changes around the game, around this team. Guys came out there and they played. They left it all out there on the field. It was just came up short. You know, you knew that going into this game that you were going to have to get after Drew Brees. You know that the secondary was going to have to man up. They were going to have to make some big plays. I mean, you go into the first half, I think Drew Brees' average throwing time was 2.6 seconds. Yeah, that's too long. And then when you go into the second half, his average throw time was 2.8 seconds. That's too long. You have to, as rushers, have to get there to throw off the top. You got to get home, you know, because the secondary is going to break down. He had 11 throws over 3 seconds.
Mm. Just for reference point, Nick Foles was averaging going into this game about 2.4, 2.5.
Yeah, going into this game last week, was his average throwing time was 2.4 seconds. Going into this game right here, I mean, you know, just looking at what, 3 seconds. 11 throws over three seconds.
That is
11 throws over two and a half.
So why not switch things up if you're Jim Schwartz and then, I don't know, attack him a little bit?
Well, because he's trying to protect the secondary, which wasn't helping anyway.
Right.
You know, so you may as well go ahead and send the blitz. I mean, you know, you had 11 throws over 2.5 seconds. Now, with that being said, you had 11 throws, but two of them were sacks, and then one of them was an interception.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the secondary had to, you know, they were out there battling against you, some receivers, but you had to get home, man. You had to get out there to throw Breeze off.
It just seemed like such a microcosm of the season. So, Jim Schwartz, what do you do? Yeah, the front four has to get to him because you don't, I guess his thinking is you don't want to blitz because your secondary is so depleted. Yet, Fletcher Cox is leaving the field with a foot injury. Michael Bennett had to leave for a little bit. You're playing a Haloti Ngata, a Chris Long, those guys who are all over 30 years old. Brandon Graham has to play pretty much every down. You know, so now you're trying to protect a secondary that, again, Rasul Douglas goes out, is depleted by injury. And then Nick Foles on the offensive side starts out 11 for 13. It's the Nick Foles that we love. It's the one that won the Super Bowl. Goes 7 for 18 for 56 yards the rest of the game. It's the Nick Foles that's been a career backup. You know what I mean? It was just, it's kind of a microcosm of what all this season was. Now, moving forward, I think it's all bright and all, but yesterday just, it was kind of like, but that being said, I said this at the 5 o'clock hour, I think the culture of this team is at a level where they can sustain being a contender for years and years to come. I really do.
Now, one of the things when you were talking about Foles' performance, a couple of those throws reminded me of, you know what, this is the old Foles.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
This is Oakland Foles right now, where he looks skittish. A lot of them, he was putting way too much air under the throw, underthrowing Tate. I mean, you know,
Ertz deep, the interception.
Just a couple of those throws reminded me of old Foles, not Super Bowl MVP Foles.
Oh, definitely. And yeah. I 2014 Foles, was it? Was the year after the 27-2 season?
Yeah.
The team was 6-2, but he looked shaky. He got the happy feet. And I didn't hear this talked about enough in post game show. The players talked about it because I noticed it during the game, and I hope I'm not the only one, but the crowd noise totally threw them off their game. They took them off. No, it did. The players admitted it afterwards.
You're looking for an excuse.
I'm not looking for an excuse. I'm looking for an explanation.
The players are looking for an excuse. If they're saying that the crowd noise threw them off their game, that's something that we train on.
You pump noise in the bubble, all that stuff.
That is all. What is it throw off? I didn't see many guys weren't laid off the ball.
You had the one with
Peters
drop back. Isaac, another one.
Left a little early, but they're going off the silent count. You're not listening to the center. You're going off silent count. You're looking at Kelsey's helmet. So how's that throwing you off? That's something that you train all week.
Did they look like they were in sync?
Who?
The Eagles offense. After the first two possessions, they did not look like they were in sync at all.
But the crowd noise is not something that you sit up there and you try to harp on and say, oh my God, it was loud. Every time you go on a road trip, it's loud. That's something that you train for. Don't let that be the excuse for a loss.
Okay, I'm not looking at it as, oh, it's crowd noise. What are you going to do? There's an excuse there. Now, it's an explanation for why they might have looked a little frantic.
Mm-mm.
No. They look frantic. To me, Nick Foles looked frantic. It was that Oakland Nick Foles you talked about.
Yeah, Oakland Nick Foles. It just looked like he got skittish. It looked like when Jason Peters went down, he really got happy feet. He was really like, oh my God, something's about to happen. I need to get rid of the ball. Even before Jason Peters went down, there were just some bad throws out there. But crowd noise, I don't think, was the whole thing that you had to rest that on.
You know, it's funny. Yesterday, before the game started, it was down in Sugarhouse, and I had a person came up to me and says, what's wrong with Foles? Is he all right? And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's before the game started. And he said, I thought last week a lot of his throws didn't have zip on it. Like, is his ribs okay? Or is it? So then yesterday I watched, and like Trey said, a lot of air under the ball. You wonder how much that came into play. That was one thing. The other thing, and I don't know if this had to do with crowd noise, you win the toss, you defer. So get the ball in the third quarter, start the second half. They barely get the first playoff, and then they have to call timeout before the second play.
That bothered me
too.
What
the hell is that? You had such success in the first half running your scripted plays. You can't have your team ready to go in the third quarter like, look, guys, here's the first, I don't know. Trey, you tell me, is it impossible for a coach at halftime to say, look, here's our first five to go out there. Let's go. Let's start this second half like we started the game.
He can give you a couple plays of what he's going to start out, but then when you get out there and you start playing, the different situations happen. Because, I mean, you come out of halftime, I mean, they went one inside zone to the left, and then you had one pass that was complete to Jeffrey, and then the other one was incomplete, and then there you go, you're putting the ball. So...
But not being ready for that second play, and you have to call a timeout.
That
just made it like, oh my God, momentum.
Absolutely. No, that bothered me as well, especially because you nullify the fact that you deferred.
Right, exactly. My point, which I didn't like anyway. I hated that they deferred because I'm thinking, okay, what's to say you get the ball, you say, I'll take the ball. What's to say you don't go on an 8-9 minute drive? That takes maybe a possession away from New Orleans. Now, luckily, they got the interception and, you know,
luckily,
whatever.
That Craven LeBlanc.
If Drew Brees throws that ball like he throws it 90% of the time, it's 7-0 6 seconds into the game.
It worked out. It worked out, though.
Made a big play, though. But you put defense on the field. You try to start something. You get the energy going. Defense feeds off of energy like that. So I get it. You know what? Let's get it. You know, but...
All right. We'll get into all these all these emotions because it is our Window Nation Twitter poll today. Sam, what do you have for us?
Today we asked which best describes your emotions today, and 74% so far said proud, 26 say angry.
All right, see, as much as I love this team, and it really does bother me because I don't think I've enjoyed covering someone and talking to someone more in the locker room than I've enjoyed talking to Chris Long, and he's probably done as an Eagle. And look, the obvious is Nick Foles, and that's from an outsider perspective type of thing. And I include myself in that because it's not like I'm going up to Nick Foles and having personal conversations with him like I have with Chris Long. But everyone is going to miss Nick Foles. He's the leader of the band, and the band looks like it's going to break up from that perspective. And he's going to start his own band, and he could be pumping out other hits. You know, that's how it feels when you look at this team. So I know a lot of people are feeling kind of that glass case of emotion with this team. But again, talking to fans last night, it seems like a lot of these people were resting on the fact that they were Super Bowl champions just a year ago, and they feel like they can move on into this offseason with that, at least, not having a 52-year drought from winning a Super Bowl. They actually feel like, oh, well, we won last year. We still love this team. We know they'll be back. We know Carson will be back. We know Alshon will be back. 99 times out of 100, he catches that pass. We feel good, and we feel proud of this team that they fought so much. But I still can't help but to go back to games like the Panthers game, both games against the Cowboys, and think maybe if they would have won those games, they would have been in a position where maybe they're hosting games in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I can't. Look, the fact that I had fun with everybody else and we all enjoyed the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season doesn't mean all of a sudden that, poof, this season was some kind of magical success. They rallied late, which is great, and that's what you're proud of. But the bottom line is they failed this season. That's how I feel about it. It's still a failure to me. There's good things you can take out of it. There's great vibes you can take out of it. But the bottom line is they should have been better. They proved towards the end of the season that they could have been better, and they weren't. And that's still what sticks in my craw when it comes to this game. So I want to dissect how everyone's feeling after an epic rally at the end of the season that they were able to put together, and how the people feel about the entire season as a whole. Do have to tell you, the 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company, specializing in multifamily and single-family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com. Also, don't forget, it's a Football Monday brought to you by Recovery Centers of America. Call today at 1-800-RECOVERY or visit 1-800-RECOVERY.com/radio. And we'll have a big green giveaway today coming up at 8 o'clock. We're giving you a chance to win $1,000. It's our 5K a day big green giveaway, a nationwide contest. Listen for the keyword at 8 o'clock when you hear it. Enter the keyword on the Fanatic app or at 975thefanatic.com by 8:15 this morning, and we'll call you if you are randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize at the end of the contest in February. Complete contest rules available at 975thefanatic.com. Brought to you by TurnersvilleJeep.com, the Delaware Valley's fastest growing Jeep dealer. So make sure you chime in for all that. 610-632-0975. Coming up, If you're not upset, I'm going to let you hear Drew Brees after the game about what could be the biggest turning point in this game. Talk about that in a second here. 97.5, The Fanatic.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas. A very hoarse Andrew Salchunas.
He's playing hurt.
What was he doing? What was he doing yesterday, Bob?
Oh, he was screaming his lungs out where were we again? We were at Fishtown Hops and Sugar House.
There you go.
Forgot where we were for a second there.
Yelling or boozing? Both?
No booze. You can't booze when you work, Mark, as we all know.
Boy, after the show. After the show.
Well, after the show,
Well, he hosts the party, right?
But, we're concentrating on the game. There may have been a bucket.
Taking notes.
Maybe there was a bucket. I'm just saying.
Maybe there was a bucket. Okay.
You never know.
Good enough. Well, I know this is what people are really going to have heavy on their hearts, and I hate to tell you this, but I thought and I was rooting for. The fact that when they did lose, the conversation about Foles versus Wentz was going to be over. And believe me, we're not going there. But I will tell you, there are people that are going there already. Pro Football Talk came out with a headline the second the game was over. Yeah. Our friends at the ESPN, the NFL Primetime, they got into it already the second the game was over. And I'm thinking, let me react. Let me get used to the fact now that Nick Foles might not be back, folks. Here's Nick Foles after the game when he talked about his relationship with this wonderful city.
I think the big thing is, you know, what the city means to me. You know, it's always welcomed me and my family. It's really been a joy to live there and be a part of everything and, you know, wear the green and wear the jersey. So no matter what, you can't ever take that away. We were able to do some really special things. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'll tell you this, I've enjoyed every single moment. And it'll always have a special place in my heart. The city, the fans, the people, everything about it. There's nothing like playing in the link in front of the crowd. Oh. It's some of my favorite moments. Oh.
That sounds like a farewell.
Mm-hmm. You okay?
Do you not hear the crack in his voice, Bob?
He's saying four words, if you're an optimist, you hold on to. We'll see what happens.
Oh, thanks. That's always really comforting.
Pay cut backups. Let it start a little.
The girl says to you, well, we could still be friends. We'll see what happens.
Uh-huh. I'm in the friend zone.
For the time being.
With benefits?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Probably not. But you hear a little crack in his voice, and you see the tears forming in his eyes, Trey. You see the emotion from Nick Foles as he's saying what most likely is his goodbye to the city of brotherly love. But you know what? He doesn't want to talk about the future. At least not yet. At least not yet. Not worried about what the career holds for him in the near future. Here he is on that.
You know, I'm not really going to worry about it right now. I think, you know, I'm just going to do what I can to enjoy this fight back with my teammates. And we'll see what happens. I do know that, you know, we went out there and gave it everything we had tonight. And that's where, you know, everyone's got to keep their heads held high because that's what it's about. Huh. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but ultimately if you give it everything you have, you know, that's what it's about.
I want to hug him.
Is there a more perfect human being?
No.
I don't think so.
Of course not.
I don't think so.
It would be impossible to create a better human being.
Man, whatever, man. I can't hug him right now. I'm looking at it like, look, man, you just played a game where you had zero sacks, four quarterback hits, and you were 18 for 31?
Yes, Nick Foles was bad yesterday. He was very, very bad.
I can't hug you right now. Right now, I'm a little upset. 18 for 31, zero sacks, only four quarterback hits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again. Zero sacks, only four quarterback hits.
So,
and you 18 for 31, I'm sorry.
You're an offensive lineman.
I'm upset.
You're on that team. After the game, you're not giving him the full-on hug.
How are you going to give him a hug?
You give him like the hand slap and a half, bro.
But right now, the fan part of me right now, I'm just like, man.
No, okay, so
you come out of this game, zero sacks, only four hits. I mean, you just had Wisniewski. Brandon, your all-pro guard went down. You had Wisniewski have to step in at right guard, which I would almost bet that was never practiced.
Yeah, I was thinking of that. I was thinking of you yesterday.
I'm pretty sure that was never practiced for Wisniewski to have to go in and play right guard next to Lane Johnson that probably never worked with him, and they go out there and still hold it down. The running backs picked up a lot of good blitzes, and you come out of the 18 for 31, man,
Okay, so if you had to choose between the two on our Twitter poll, are you angry or are you, you know?
I mean, I'm all right because, you know.
Oh, you don't sound all right.
I picked the team to win, of course, but of course they didn't lose by eight, so I still won, but I wanted the team to win.
Are you proud or are you angry?
I'm proud. I mean, they went out there and they battled, man. I mean, these guys went out there and they gave everything that they had. I mean, you know, but when you look at it as, you know, analyzing it right now, for him to come out of that game 18 for 31, it just makes you feel like, dang, man, dude, zero sacks, and you only hit four times.
Well, sure, but being like expecting the team to give their all is something that I have grown accustomed to because that's what they should be doing.
Yeah.
Every team.
Yeah.
I am disappointed and I am still angry that they have been bounced out of the playoffs when their defense held this team to 20 points.
Yeah.
And their offense, which had been on a roll. Inge, real quick here before we let you hear from Nick Foles.
Boy.
Inge, what's up, buddy? Inge?
This is Inge's best call ever.
Let him go. Let him go.
Mm-hmm. I agree, mm-hmm. Inge.
All right. Thanks, Inge.
That's the most insightful thing you've ever said.
How you doing? Hello?
See what you did. Woke up. What's up, Inge?
Look, I got to tell you, there's nothing wrong with what happened yesterday. I mean, that's a football game. New Orleans was the number one seed for a reason.
Yeah.
The defense was really good at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
Look, I take a lot of positives going forward here. I don't care, I guess. I got to accept the fact maybe that Foles won't be here. And my main concern is that Wentz could be another McNabb. But going forward, I appreciate the fact that everything is going to be measured by how well this team does in the playoffs, in the postseason, which is a great culture to have. So I take a lot of positives going forward. The only thing that's depressing is just thinking about our winner teams, unfortunately, that we have to dismantle both of our teams to get to that same championship level. It's depressing. But yep. In terms of the Eagles,
nope.
Everything's positive.
You're dismantling the Sixers.
There's no All question. Right. If they don't trade Ben Simmons, Fultz, and maybe even Jimmy Butler, this team will not get out of the second round.
And if they do, they will.
You know what, Inge, you might be right.
Ben Simmons, if you're not paying attention, over the past month has been dominant.
Yes, that's happened. Romeo, Northeast Philly, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? I don't know how you can say that Jim Schwartz is not to blame for yesterday's game. The first play, the pick, the LeBlanc pick, that was a poor throw by Breeze. That dude was wide open.
LeBlanc went up and got that. And look, I'm not crediting Jim Schwartz for that. Evidently, they had the good coverage for it because they picked off Drew Breeze in his first pass of the game.
No, he was wide open. If Breeze puts it up 3 inches higher, that's a touchdown.
Yeah, well, if my aunt had, you know what's and what's it's what's. Oh, Joe,
wow,
Philly, you're on 975 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's on your mind today, brother?
I just have a quick question because yesterday was driving me crazy. I don't know if you guys have already brought it up or if somebody else has, but when they ran the ball and there was about 2:26 left on the clock, I think it was, I was screaming at the TV, just stop, 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 wait for the 2-minute warning.
Uh-huh.
And right before they ran that play, I'm like, no, I'm screaming. We have a whole bunch of people watching the game. Don't run the play. And they throw the pick. I just think they should have waited, let the 2 minutes hit, get a play together, get everybody calm, get everybody on the same page. I just want to know if you guys agree with that at all or if they made the right call running the play with 2 minutes and 2 seconds left.
Yeah, Joe, I actually think I've come around on that. I mean, I think the clock's going to run regardless, but you can have more control over when it's going to run. And the only counter argument I had to it at the time was the idea that you might let the crowd back into the game. You take a 2-minute warning, the crowd gets hyped up again, they do a make some noise chant, whatever. And I think Doug Peterson was trying to take the crowd out of it. Let's get Evan in here real quick. Evan, Chapel Hill. Nothing for you there. All right, let's put a bow on the Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam Wilson, what do we got?
Today we asked which best describes your emotions, and we had just over 3,000 votes today. 70% say proud, 30% say angry.
Wow, listen to that.
Just missed it.
That's insane to me. All right, let's talk about our Schwartz-Colleton takeaways of the day. Schwartz-Colleton, call the Get the Money You Deserve, call 1-800-JUSTICE. Sam Wilson, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is that Trey Thomas eats one small pack of gum at a time. That is 5 pieces at one time. Do you know that?
He's a larger man.
Fun fact.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trey is good. I didn't know that.
He's got the freshest breath in the Delaware.
Big red, too.
Yeah. I learned that I changed as a fan today.
Wow.
If it wasn't for Super Bowl 52, I'd be in the corner sucking my thumb and crying.
Wow. Pathetic. Bob.
I learned that maybe the Eagles' loss yesterday was due to the fact that they 4 out of 5 times with 3rd and 10 or more, the Saints got first downs when, through the weekend, everyone else in the NFL combined went 2 for 23.
Womp, womp.
Yeah.
Womp.
Thank you, Sam. Trey Thomas.
Ah, man, I'm just proud of the fan base, man. You know, we have the best fans in the NFL, and I'm just proud of how they are handling this because this could be brutal.
It could be.
It could have been brutal. Yeah, but, you know, everybody's kind of taking it in his stride.
I learned today that I officially, for most likely at least the next 3 weeks, hate the New Orleans Saints more than I hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Boom.
It's not a hot take. It's how I feel. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.